one of the biggest lessons I've learned in my 20s for any kind of relationship, whether it's like a personal or professional life, is if someone leaves me or is really upset just because I'm sharing respectfully what I'm feeling, then I'm actually in a lucky position that I've already communicated that earlier than later. Because good friendships last if you are sharing, hey, you know, like right now, I don't have the capacity to be there for you because I have so much to deal with, like myself in my life. And yeah, so I think it's really good to actually, the earlier the better, because then you can see, okay, what type of friendship is that really? Hello everyone, welcome to the Purple Stars podcast. I'm Sarah, your host, and I have another amazing guest on the show, and some of you might already know him from episode number 10, my dear friend Stuart. And we have had just a start of 5 minutes just laughing about his microphone. So just for you to have some heads up that this episode is about a topic that's dear to our heart, which is friendship, but there will be a lot of laughter. So please welcome back, Stuart.
Hello. I don't know why you've made comment about my microphone. I think it's perfectly normal. I don't understand why you find it so funny. I don't get it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, whoever stays till the end of the episode might get the reveal for that. Stuart, I got to interview Dr. Sarah Kuberick a few weeks back, and we also talked a little bit about friendship, and we said how important it is to evaluate regularly and ask ourselves, how does this friendship make us feel? And it's not, you know, in a single situation, but overall, because very often we stay in friendships and keep them going because we've known each other for a long time, because we have been through a lot together. And then often we tend to forget to ask ourselves, okay, but does this friendship actually make me feel good and uplifted? Or do I always feel tired and drained when we talk and interact? So I'm wondering, because you are such an amazing friend, and what are your thoughts on this question?
Such a good question. It's something I actually talk about quite a lot with friends. I'm sure we've probably discussed it in the past. And my way of looking at it with friends is, and it's with any relationship in life, that's the most casual friendship, acquaintances, or the German word bedankter. I've forgotten the German word for it. That's kind of halfway between friendship and acquaintance. Bekannter?
Oh yeah, bekannter. Do you use that word in English as well?
No, but I had been using it because it's like this intermediary level between acquaintance and friend. Mm-hmm. So it's, if we're thinking of friendship as a hierarchy between those two, I quite like that, because it's weird saying this is my acquaintance. Like, you can't.
Yeah, it's really very. It sounds very rude.
My acquaintance, mm-hmm. Right? So, like, and that's one thing. That's one of the things I took from Austria in the German language, was that words, because it felt a little bit better that there's this intermediary between them. Mm-hmm. But basically, we meet these people in our lives, in these relationships, and effectively, life is. It's a journey, it's a cliche, but it kind of is. So, and with any journey, there's going to be twists and turns, there's going to be crossroads. And two journeys don't necessarily, they're not really going to always fit for that duration. They just aren't going to align. So if you've got someone that's naturally supposed to be going east, and you're, for some reason, you've not separated at that point, you just know it's off. Like, I'm mm-hmm. supposed to be going west and I'm going east, and like, and everything, it just gets to us, and then it can become toxic. And that's the worst thing, is when relationships fail and become toxic. And there's different reasons for that. Like we've got different personalities. We're very complex people. But the biggest thing for me, and I know it must be the same for you, is like because we are quite strong with empathy and other people's energies. And we're there, we can't help but try and elevate and push people, bring sunshine to people. However, that becomes draining in ourselves. Like we only have so much energy and light that we can always give without recharging. And some people, without even knowing they're doing it, are kind of addicted to that feeling. Like they become addicted and needs a constant source of energy and sunshine into them. And it becomes like a black hole, like it's a sponge that just saps out of us, and we end up drained, and we don't even necessarily know why until we. And for personally, one of my worst traits is I just shut down. I just stop communication, and like mm-hmm. it's like a safety function. And I've become better at stopping it before I just shut down. Like I'll communicate better, saying I need some time, all these things. And most people understand it. And then what I've realized is the people that don't understand that, they yell at me.
It's such a good point that you pointed out to communicate already before the train has left the station, like before you shut down and before it's too much, because that often actually gives the other person a chance to think about it and to change things. And very often it might even save a friendship because, you know, when we say, hey, I love supporting you, but currently I feel I don't have the capacity to be as much there for you. Or I feel sometimes it's very one-sided. Like when we talk for an hour, it's 55 minutes about you and 5 minutes about me. And so I think it's about also giving the other person the chance to know what's going on inside us and not like cutting them off and ghosting them when it's like just too much for us.
Yeah, it's that's something I had to learn. And you were actually one of the people that helped me through that process really early on in our friendship, where you sort of gave me the agency to communicate it. I don't even know, it's just one of those many conversations we've had, but if I remember, we were just sitting on a park bench somewhere in Salzburg and we had this conversation. It's quite incredible, particularly for someone who's chronically worried about how someone else sees me, mm-hmm. and me upsetting someone else, which it's, so not only do I try and make someone feel good, but I hate it. It makes me ill when I upset someone. It makes me physically sick. And that's a bad combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I know that someone's there for them, I'm already starting to get that anxiety build up. So it's been a process to figure out how to manage myself as well as that relationship and my place within any friendship.
Do you think communicating that to the other person, like, this is my pattern, like I get very anxious when I say no to someone, I get anxious when I don't pick up, when I don't reply. Do you think that's helpful for a friendship? I think it's very good for the other person to know where our fears are lying and also what's the reason behind, because then they can also be mindful of that. I'm not like, I wouldn't say everyone necessarily is mindful of that, but it's good to communicate those patterns.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's really interesting, the complex layers that were there, like really bad behaviors as children. Like for me, that bad behavior was just silence, like being afraid to speak, shyness, all those things, always being in the fringe. And therefore, we get to certain ages in our lives and that really becomes ingrained in us. It certainly did for me. And so you have that layer, and then you have this constant need to please people, as well as then not wanting, like having this fear of an anxiety of upsetting someone as well. Like it's a really nasty combination, particularly for them when you're quite introverted like me, and it all just stays in the head. Thank goodness for art. But the friendships that the closest friendships I've had in my life, it's they understood that like instantly, like absolutely instantly. It was never an issue. I can have intense conversation with friends as well as the most silly, stupid conversations, as we've already done in like 15 minutes. like that's kind of me. And the people who get that, where we're on the same wavelength, that's special. Like it's truly priceless. And everything, and I guess what I'm saying is it's become easier to communicate like my need out of any kind of friendship. But as I've been fortunate enough that I've had friends like my who's, you know, and he's in Germany, and it's like he just gets it, like literally gets it. Sometimes we will have intense conversations about life stuff. It'll be work-related things, or it will literally be we can't think of anything, and he just needs to talk crap about the football with someone. Like it will just be the most basic human jokes. And we're smart people, but sometimes it's an outlet, and you still need that understanding with the friends that, and you know, I'm very fortunate to have that. Our friends, I truly believe the friends that we make in life, you know, we're not defined by our friends, but they do elevate us. It's to those where we are elevated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say some friends might elevate us, and some, it can also go the other direction. It really depends what a match we are. And like when I look back in my, like now I'm in my early 30s, when I was in my early 20s, I had some really great friendships, but I also had some really toxic friendships. And that was because 12 years back then, I was not as comfortable as I'm now being myself and also explaining my needs and what I think and what my values are. But one of the biggest lessons I've learned in my 20s for any kind of relationship, whether it's like a personal or professional life, is if someone leaves me or is really upset just because I'm sharing respectfully what I'm feeling, then I'm actually in a lucky position that I've already communicated that earlier than later. Because good friendships last if you are sharing, hey, you know, like right now, I don't have the capacity to be there for you because I have so much to deal with, like myself in my life. And yeah, so I think it's really good to actually, the earlier the better, because then you can see, okay, what type of friendship is that really?
Completely agree with you. It's been really interesting the growth, and I love that you just humbly brag you're still. That's so not fair. just wait. It gets you'll start reevaluating yourself and reassessing yourself weekly and then daily basis. That once you get into your 40s, you've got all that fun to come. You think you've grown already? Just you wait. It's quite incredible. If we think of, you know, legally we're adults, like depending on what country you're in, like 16, 18, 20, 21. But my goodness, like I had absolutely no idea who I was, my personality, until I was in my early 30s. That's a long time. for us to put up with. Where we can be as equally toxic to someone else without even knowing as they could be to us. I do believe the most toxic friendships are is probably mutual, and we're not the right person for them either. It's just, you know, and all our, and, you know, I do believe that most friendships, if not all, the intentions are pure. It just doesn't click. And, you know, if we're thinking as adults, you know, in our 20s, and how little we knew about ourselves and the friendships and the relationships that we've had, like, it's quite incredible. It's, you know, 10, 15 years is a long time. There's a lot of upset human beings. That's a lot of trauma that and messy stuff from what is just generally innocent interactions.
Yeah, totally.
And I think, I was just going to say, I think communication, if we were empowered, felt empowered to communicate or understood the importance of communication openly really early on, I think that would solve so much.
What? Because you mentioned earlier you're an introvert, and also you have had throughout your life the pattern or the desire to please others. What has helped you on your path to, regardless of these patterns and your nature, to communicate openly in friendships or more openly?
You, after a certain point, you just like, I can't continue this. This is like this cycle. We have to eventually learn to break that cycle. Doesn't really matter if it's habit. If it's making us miserable, we just can't do that. Like, it's illogical. And I know emotions and logic don't necessarily go together well, but at some point, the logic side of the brain, we do learn through, you know, if we put our hand in the fire enough times, we stop putting our hand in the fire. And that was basically my very slow caveman response to of myself. It's just like, I can't keep on doing this. I need to break this. I'm going to try this approach. And I was like, oh, that was easy. They get it.
I think with friendships, because most of the times we don't live together with our friends and we don't see them on a daily basis, in most cases, that it sometimes takes us longer to really acknowledge and to accept that things might be not good, as good for us as we, you know, for both of us, as much as we would like them to be. Because when we're living with a partner, you know, you get their patterns in the morning, in the evening, on the weekends, and you're like more regularly and more frequently reminded that the, you know, that you maybe are not that great of a match. And I also mentioned in my podcast with Dr. Sarah Kuberick, I think what's the thing with friendships, hardly ever anyone breaks up with friends. Like, as you said, like, you let it fizzle out, you stop communicating, you disappear. And I think actually that's something that makes life even harder, because we have all these unresolved things that we are carrying with us. I always like to imagine this as books. We have all these open books lying around, and it's really like good for us and also for the other person to not be in the dark and to actually have a conversation. And that doesn't mean to be like, hey, we are not friends ever again, but to say right now we are like, everyone is heading in a different direction, the way you said it earlier. I'm heading west and you are heading east. And doesn't mean that later on our paths are not going to cross again. But right now it's probably better for both of us to hold space for someone else that is walking our direction.
Yeah. For me, my partner just shutting down. It's like an emergency break. That's all. Mm-hmm. It's just resetting. It doesn't mean that I stay silent. I don't speak. I always have to make sure the other person knows that I see them, like that I've mm-hmm. cared, like even if like we're in disagreement, that at least it's real. I think that's the worst thing is when we meet people and we're not, and we feel like we didn't matter. That it was what we felt wasn't reciprocated. That's the worst. It's such a, like, we can't help but feel negative about ourselves, and we'll have dips in self-esteem because of it. So I will always, and most of my friendships, because I've moved around so much, will continue online anyway. So if they fizzle, it's partly because I've moved. I've moved to Salzburg, I've moved to Bordeaux, I've moved to Manchester, Madrid, London, Glasgow. So inevitably, when you've got geographical distances, the friendship changes anyway. For example, with my best friends, I don't think we have ever lived in the same place, ever.
Mm.
And that's what... I was going to say maybe that's why it's special. No, it would be better if we were together because we get on so well. But the good thing with something like with messaging on, like through WhatsApp, Signal, or whatever people use, you can see that they've at least received your message. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's the clarity. That's I'm actually fine with that now. As long as they know that, you know, I've seen them, they cared, it mattered.
Mm.
And I will always make sure people know that they can still reach out to me. And you know me, I will always answer. I might be slow sometimes, but I will always answer. Even if I had someone from 15 years ago reconnect just to check in, that was it, nothing else. Very different. That's what happens. So I've never really, something with a friendship, I've never ended a friendship. But, you know, let's put it this way, there's a lot of unfinished books, but I think the relation or unfinished chapters in this book, if this book's my life, and I think those chapters will probably just end whenever my life ends. That's just mm-hmm. the way it is. Which I really hope is not for a good like century or two. I want my life's novel to be the, you know, like War and Peace.
Stuart, what do you think has helped you over the years to become a better friend for yourself?
My friends.
Mm-hmm.
The friends who get us most are the ones that say, you can do this. Like, as in, just tell me no. Just, or say yes, or just, it's fine. Just tell me in advance that you need some quiet. I'm like, okay, they're the ones. They're the ones that have... So it's the best friends are the ones that help you become a better friend.
Mm-hmm. And what has helped you to become a better friend towards yourself?
Again, those friends. That's, you know, I have three or four, yourself included, like truly precious friends. Truly precious friends that you just know that whatever they say to you, the intention is, in fact, it's not even no. You feel whatever they say to you, however they act, it's for your best. That's the best way. It's not about knowing. I know that all my friends in my life have the best intentions for me, whether they say something that I want to hear or not. But I don't necessarily feel it. It's the little thing mm-hmm. for me. And when And I think it's that unseen, that it's purely intangible. It is just chemistry between friendships. It's two hearts connecting. It's two souls connecting. When those people that we have that bond with something to you, then it only ever makes you better, whatever it is.
I so agree. I do think it's, you know, people that want the best for us and that are our cheerleaders bring the best sides out in us. They want us to succeed. They want us to be happy. They want us to be kind to others, to ourselves. And they keep believing in us till we believe in ourselves. They love us on days when we really struggle to even like ourselves. And I think that they're also the ones that are our light when we are really going through a dark valley. And they keep reminding us, oh, okay, it's just a matter of time just for things to get better. And I think what is so beautiful with friendships, and I think it's not actually a matter of time, but a matter of, like, as you said, heart-to-heart connection, when they truly know what to say. And it can be just a simple, I believe in you, or, you know what, I think you're just like sabotaging your happiness again, but you really deserve to be truly happy. And it can be something so simple, but yeah, I think friends are so valuable. And sometimes we get so busy that, you know, like with work and everything and the travels, that especially when we live in different locations, that we might not water the plants as much as we could or should. And that's why I personally, I really like to make a conscious effort to reach out. And even if it's just a, like sending a little heart via WhatsApp or sending a voice message, can go up to having a FaceTime call. But just to, as you said earlier, to make sure they feel seen. And because we can't expect when we get this amazing flower for it to last forever if we don't regularly water the flower in whatever way it is.
I agree. And I have a friend, and literally all she does is once every, it could be 6 weeks, 2 weeks, she'll just send a link to a song that she knows I'll like. And that's mm-hmm. it, just the Spotify link to a song. And then there's some exchange sort of, like, which pleasantries, we check in on each other, we check in on the dogs. That's it. But it's such a really simple thing. And my best friend growing up, it was those little gestures of, I'd broken up with the very first girl I'd seen. And I was back home and near Dumfries, and she was up in Edinburgh. And so I was driving back down, but he was in Edinburgh at the time. So I picked him up. They said, it's like, I made you a tape. Yeah. Is that, I see, here's the age thing. It was a cassette tape. And he said, we're going to listen to this for the whole drive back down. And that is, and by the end of the drive, I was like, this is the best. Like, it's those things that they just know what you need. It's the simplest thing. There's many ways that you can measure friendships, but for me, as you mentioned earlier on, it's looking at the whole sort of picture of how the relationship is and how you feel, where you sort of step back. And then it's those moments, like this culture, that friendship is a collection of moments, and those collection of moments, the truest friends, it's just, they get the tone right. They get the energy, mm-hmm. they get the vibe right every time in those moments. And they're the truly special friends that you can rely on. And that friends, we have been friends since we were 6 years old. Like, true, is the so yeah, several decades.
I was not about to ask for how long that was. I loved how you earlier mentioned that in German we have different words for different kind of friendship groups. You know, like we have the acquaintance, someone that you basically just met. Then we have the word Bekannte, which means we know them, but we don't consider them as our like friends. And then they're friends. And I also think that there are different shades within friends, because there might be friends you are like, you're social friends, you know, you go out for drinks, you go and meet for a coffee, or you're active friends where you go on hikes, where you go for yoga. And then there might be your soul friends, you know, like where you talk about what's deep inside your soul, what makes you feel at home, what your worries are, what your big life questions are. And I think from an early age on, we are always wired to be like, who is your one best friend? Like, you know, it's like, oh, this is my best friend. And then like, oh no, actually this is my best friend. And I think my grandmother or my Lola always said, if you have one really good friend, you're luckier than most people. And I agree. But I also think we can have multiple friends, but also it might be that each one of them connects on a different level and in a different area. And allowing that to be like, okay, we have different friendships. With some, we like are so creatively sparking on the business side. And with some, it's like all the spiritual stuff. And for some others, it's like we just connect so deep for because of our love for animals. And I think what's a big key to having great friendships also is allowing ourselves to have different kinds of friendships.
I think I completely agree with you. And it's one of those things I realized a good while ago. Like it's truly impossible. I think it's simply unfair as well to project an expectation onto another person that they will be the all-encompassing best friend. They will be the all-encompassing mm-hmm. partner. Like the part, you know, you meet your Prince Charming and that's it. That's the one person you know. It's so unfair on them. It's unfair on us. It's just completely baffling that we have gone down this path as a society that's an expectation that we grow up with from children. And I would love to understand where that comes from, because it's so illogical. You know, if we think of all interests we have, I never want children in my life. And, you know, Stefan, he has a child, but I'm not his friend to talk to about parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about almost everything else, but I am the most useless friend to talk about parenting. It's just, you know, it'd be so daft. You know, I'm the friends mm-hmm. that I can talk to him about work stuff, his inspirations. You know, both our dads had Parkinson's at the same time. You know, all those things. You know, I'm the friend that we can take pictures of our dog pooing and send to each other. It's but you know, if you want to talk to me, you know, being up all night because you've got a child, that's not me. And you won't get sympathy from me either, because he's never asked for it, because he knows that's not the way my brain thinks. So and I'm so lucky to have a friend like that in my life. But that's just like, it's almost everything, but it's impossible. Like, in the end, we're all just such different people, histories, and different presents,
mm-hmm.
Different emotions, all these different. It's impossible that one person can fill a role of the best friend. So, yeah,
Absolutely.
I haven't believed in that in a very long time.
Mm-hmm. I think you can call them like best friends, as in like, wow, we're so close. Mm. But I love how you said one person can't like feel everything. And it's actually putting a lot of pressure on them, but also a lot of pressure on us if someone else thinks that for us. And it's about embracing the qualities and the areas where we do connect and letting those areas grow and like grow deeply. And because, yeah, we just think, you know, like, I think it's like with anything in life, whether it's our partner or friends, that we can't be all. Like, it's just impossible because we are humans. And also the other thing is we evolve. And so I love that you said your closest friend, like, you don't have kids, but he has a kid. And I think being a parent is a very, probably a very big priority in his life. But nevertheless, you have so much else where you can connect and support each other.
Completely. And it all starts with dog poo. It's the foundation of the best friendships in my experience.
It is so funny. But, you know, I do really, like, I'm not sure about the dog poo, but dogs in general. Like, since we have Felix, I have met so many new people. It is crazy. Like, as you know, I am very social, but Felix took me to a whole new level. I mean, I do also realize that very often they are not interested in me, but him. Because it's always like, what's his name? How old is he? What's his breed? And I was thinking to myself, yes, I'm Sarah. Nice to meet you too. But yeah, joke aside, I think having something in common that we love and having similar values just is, you know, the gateway to a great friendship. And one of them is our love for animals. It really is. And I'm wondering, like, how has having dogs helped you moving from one place to the other making friends?
Very easy. Like, it's mm-hmm. been, like, any decision I would make in life, you know, starts with pretty much the dogs are the priority. So the neighborhoods, I will, this one, and if I was to move again, I would always look as there's somewhere suitable for the dogs, like park-wise. And what's really surprised me with Madrid's is it's a very dog-friendly city for a variety of any country, particularly such a metropolitan one, so built up. It's very, very dog-friendly. And there's immediately communities at different, like, my favorite thing, this is so Madrid, and it would never happen in Salzburg or London. Like, we have so many parks around us here, but this dog park is an unofficial dog park that the dogs have basically people have taken over, and it's right by the palace. So walk the dogs there in the morning, and it's just because it's like not the protected part, but they've said no, the dogs up there can do whatever they want, and it's just a big sort of sandy-ish area right by the palace gardens, and we're talking like 50 meters from the palace. It's so close, and you have all these tourists coming through try to take these beautiful photos. It's like the money shot of the palace. And there's dogs crapping, there's imagine. Dogs chasing each other. It's just dogs everywhere. And
photobombing.
Like, this is dog territory. Yeah. If you want photos here, you have to know this is dogs first. And that's, to me, that's Madrid. Like, it's in the end, priority. And yeah, the like, I've made good friends just because of dogs, and the mentality and understanding around dogs here. Like, in Salzburg, I was always worried about someone's reaction to the dogs. Like if the dogs bark or if they do this, there will be a reaction. Here, I don't care. Everyone wants the dogs to be dogs. And it's beautiful. And it's, we're talking, like, these parks are just dogs tearing around barking, and it's chaos. Like, between the hours of 11 p.m. it's just madness. But it's all done in the right areas. And these parks are attracting people from different barrios, different neighborhoods. So some will be more working class, some will be very affluent. So there's nice mingling of backgrounds because of that. Like socially, like people that wouldn't get along politically are still chatting away because they've met at these parks in the middle and the dogs get on. And if the dogs get on, you have to end up talking to people. And I think it's a beautiful thing because what it does is at least briefly takes down social barriers. So if we're going beyond friendships, it's for a society, centralized areas with dogs, because there's, in the end, you can't, like, it comes back down to dog poo. It's neutralizer. Like, all our dogs poo. We all have to pick dog poo. That's, life just comes down to that. Really basic things. No one can say they're better than me, and I can't say I'm better than someone else, because we're still holding dog poo. It's, you know, dog poo fixes everything. We need to think poo.
I was deeply touched by you saying having dogs helps us to take down social barriers. I actually haven't, like, I haven't thought about it in this way as much. And it's so true, because we strip away all the titles, like the car we drive, where we are from, like even our religions, our political opinions, the lifestyle we have, like we connect through the dog, and very often, regardless of the breed. And that's something that I find is so, so, so beautiful. And that's what dogs really teach us. I took Felix yesterday also. It's not a dog park, but it's a park where dogs are number one, similar to what you said. And I was thinking, isn't it so interesting? Like there are the small dogs and the really big dogs, and they all play with each other. But there is no, dogs would never think, oh, I don't like the coat of this dog, I'm not playing with him. Or this dog is, you know, it's just, this dog comes from another state, I don't like that. I don't like the language the dog is speaking. Or I don't like the color of their harness. They're not focused on anything that's visible. They are focused on the energy and the feeling. And that's something is so beautiful we can learn from animals, is they evaluate and they judge by energy, whether it's humans or other animals. And that's something that I find so beautiful, because this shows they are not led with their mind, but they are led by their heart. And it's, yeah, it leads to a more fulfilled life. And also lots of funny photobombing pictures.
Not completely. I mean, you're saying all these nice things. You do remember my dogs, don't you? Like, Mala will judge everything. and what has been interesting is when you've got, you know, a three-legged dog, and you know, other dogs will identify the difference, but the difference isn't to cause judgment. The difference is a curiosity. So they come up and they will immediately sniff where his fourth leg should be. But it becomes a curiosity. They want to see, oh, that's different, rather than, oh, that's the dog with three legs. And so it's a different approach to what we have, or certainly within Western culture. Within Western culture, we've been trained for whatever reason to think that different isn't always a curiosity of good things. It's different is it a different that we don't like? I don't know. Again, it's a conditioning that I'm more aware of as I travel comes from Western society. I don't know why. That's for a different conversation.
That's for the next episode. But I really want to repeat what you said. Animals meet differences with curiosity and not judgment. And it's so good. It is so good. Actually, I wish I would have said that because it's so good.
You can add that to your book.
Yeah, exactly. And then make a little star. Quoted by Stuart to make sure I don't get like any legal issues. No, but yeah, they are curious. They are aware of it, but they are curious. And I love, 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 love how you said that. And yeah, it's so beautiful. Like, yeah, dogs break down social barriers in humans. They are curious. And I also feel Felix is picking for me friends. Like sometimes, like it's almost as if he connects with dogs, not just because he loves them, but also because he feels I really get well along with that kind of dog mom, and it's, or dog parent, if it's a guy. Because the other day we would have had a play date with another dog, and the lady had to cancel for work reasons. So I thought I'd still take Felix out. And we randomly, you know, there's no coincidence in life, ran into another puppy, and they love each other so much. They're really two peas in a pod. And I get so well along with that dog mom. And I thought I would have never chatted her up just like, you know, walking down the street, but our dogs give us the opportunity to slow down and to have these beautiful connections, whether it's a short one or a lifelong one. And yeah, so I think all comes down, whether it's for curiosity or breaking down social barriers or on random walks, they help us to connect really, 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 really. And it's a beautiful gift they're offering us.
I'd never considered that the dogs have that ability to identify a person that's right for us. Now, I mean, you know Mala, and she is prickly. Like, she's, her attitudes couldn't be more Glasgow. Just like, how are they going to react if I am aggressive towards them? Like, she's not aggressive, assertive, loud, barky. But for some dogs, she will just decide, no, that one's okay. She won't be barking to them as the initial interaction. And like the best friend I've made when walking the dogs here, Greg, he's a Canadian and he's a writer. Like, and it's Mala just liked his dog Abel. That was it. Mm-hmm. He's a rescue dog from Mexico that's come over to Madrid with Greg. But then we have someone and he lives 50 meters away from me.
So close. So,
and he's so relaxed. And we have like mutual friends that, and we have mutual connections. We've visited similar places, similar interests. Like, it's, but so, like, that's a guy that's on the same sort of energy level as Stuart.
But don't you think, like, often our dogs have a similar vibe to us, or we a similar vibe to our dog? So if a dog likes a dog, the chance that we like the dog parent is quite high, I think, just from a, like, when you look at a vibe. Well, that's at least my way of trying to explain why Felix has picked some really cool people for me.
I think so. I mean, that's really good. I'm now going to go into an inner light. Am I like Mala? Do I hate people that much? Like, am I giving off a big FU energy when I see people?
But don't forget, you have a second dog.
To scare people away.
But I want to point out, you have a second dog, and he's very different.
Yeah, he's so different. But like, you know, the bond that Mala and I have is like, so it's, you know, if there's a personality bit similarity, it will be with her. Like, it's, there's no doubt about it. Maybe that's what I'm like. I don't know. I do hate people.
I was just thinking, do I think Stuart is similar to Mala? I personally think Mala is, can be very, like, she's definitely the queen in her world. Like, she rules things and she knows exactly what she wants. She has a very strong personality, and which probably also comes from her background being a rescue. I think that's also a big thing that, you know, when you were in the streets, you gotta like fight for yourself. And I personally think that she has this strong way of observing people, because you're an empath and she's trying to protect you from letting everyone in. You know, she's like, okay, my owner is just such a sweet guy. I want to be the bodyguard in female version for him to make sure you deserve being part of our world. That's like how I would have the interpretation of Mala.
You're very, because we both know I am not Mala's owner. She owns me.
She is the owner of you.
I am Mala's bitch. It's so funny.
It's so true.
She just tolerates me more than other people. Like, I'm second in command, but ultimately she is the queen.
She totally is the queen.
I can something live on the streets for 6 years and come out with such a diva attitude. She's remarkable. She's down there sleeping.
But Stuart, I also think it's thanks to you. Like, this is in a good way. Wait for what I'm going to say. Is you, because you also... I want to make sure... Hey. like, because I remember when you fostered her, and it was a foster accident, as we call it in the US, because you fostered her without planning to adopt her. But you fell so much in love with her that she stayed. And I still remember thinking you giving her a safe home and also showing her I'm here and I'm staying and you can be you, helped her also to embrace her personality and have like her diva attitude. I actually have experienced it a lot as confidence. And I think it's just beautiful to see when we give dogs or pets in general a safe place, how they then have the courage to shine their true lights in whatever way, in whatever way the light looks like.
Yeah, she's, I mean, ultimately that's all we can do is like, we're talking about friendships and, you know, people connecting with us like on an energy level. It's the same with the dogs. So that connection, whether it's between two people or a person and a dog, or maybe a cat, who knows, if it's possible.
I knew you were going to say that.
I can't say something serious without a joke. I think, like, what a connection is a connection. Mm-hmm. It's, that's all it is. A connection is a connection. Did you know that, I can't remember, no, I wouldn't have told you this because I only learned this in the last couple of months for a work project. So according to Aristotle, there are three levels of soul. And a soul is effectively, this is me paraphrasing a lot of it, but a soul is effectively something that's living. It's a living entity. So the fifth is vegetals. So vegetables, trees, plants have souls, according to Aristotle. And then second are animals, you know, because they have the process to learn, they have the capability to learn. And then third are human beings, because we can create, you know, and we can yeah, it's about creation and things like that is at level three, and that's why at level three are humans. So I think connections, anything that's between something with a soul, if we're looking at Aristotle's three levels, that you know, there will be a connection, an energy connection, whatever it is, a connection between souls will happen. And that could be with the environment around us, which I have back home in France. Like, I'm there and I just connect with it. Like, I feel like it has my soul. Mala has that soul. And, you know, that happens in, obviously, as we've been talking about, between humans as well. So I think those connections will happen in any of those things. And I think, isn't it quite remarkable if we think Aristotle millennia ago is talking about something like that, and we're only really in the last 20, 30 years, again, Western civilization, thinking of those things now. Like, what happens over these millenniums as we evolve, as education evolves, it takes us away from actually understanding what's quite a beautiful principle.
And such a simple principle. You know, where there is a soul, there is energy, and we can connect, and some connect better and some connect less, you know, less good. And it's, in the end, it's all about connection in life. And I think the last years especially showed us how important connection is. And I want to wrap up our episode with really pointing out, you know, like, we are here to connect with ourselves, to connect with others, with animals, with nature, with our purpose, with our path, with whatever we believe is higher there. It's all about connection. And it's really important to always come back to that connection. And I read something very interesting in one of the books of Paulo Coelho, and I can just now rephrase it in my own words. He said, "We are never disconnected. We are merely distracted." And that's something that really resonated with me, because I was like, it is so true. There's always a connection. It's a little bit like saying there's always a Wi-Fi, but we might be busy with other things, so we don't notice that actually the Wi-Fi is on. You know? And so I think it's important in life to be like, okay, let's make room for what keeps us warm. And what keeps us warm is connection. And if we feel cold, it's important to reconnect in whatever way we do it, and noise cancel, the multitasking, too much working, social media too much, and just have like real life connections. And yeah. What are your final thoughts on this?
I have no more thoughts other than we are all connected, and we're just distracted when we're not realized we're connected. I think that's it. You should just end it there. Say it again, end it there, or I will say it's all about dog poo.
Yeah, let's take the moment while people still take us like seriously enough. Stuart, thank you so much for coming back on. I'm so excited, because you have no idea how many people messaged me after our last episode, episode number 10, like, who is Stuart? He's such a cool guy. We love his voice. He's amazing. Everything he said. So when I thought I want to dedicate an episode about friendship, obviously I was thinking about bringing you back on, because you have a kind soul, a kind heart, and also we are very witty, which this show definitely always welcomes.
I know.
Thank you. Thank you so, so, so much for your time.
No, thank you. It's always a pleasure catching up with you, Sarah.
Thank you. It's a wrap for today, everyone. Please share this episode with everyone you like and love, and also remind your friends of how much you care for them and how much you care about them and how grateful for you are. how grateful you are. And as Stuart said, it sometimes just takes a really small, kind act to do that. And we are very excited to have you back next Wednesday.